Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is stand-up librarian Meredith Myers on behalf of the West Hollywood Book Fair, which is happening October 2nd at the new West Hollywood Library Park. Today, I'm going to be joined by a special guest, but in typical style, he's probably going to make an entrance. But I can give you some information about the West Hollywood Book Fair that's happening. We've got a variety of amazing authors and artists that are going to be there. We've got CSI star Mark Helgenberger. We've got Julie Newmar of Batman. Meredith Baxter is going to be there, everyone's favorite mom from Family Ties. We also have Diane Cannon, Tatum O'Neill. That should be an interesting one. And Florence Henderson and Marcia Clark are some of the other names that are going to be on hand to talk about books and their life in the entertainment business and also a variety of signings and activities and whatnot. For those of you who are not familiar, my name is Meredith Myers. I am a comedian and librarian, and I am educating people about the importance of libraries while at the same time trying to make people laugh and entertain them as well. So that's where I'm at. I have a website called standuplibrarian.com, so feel free to go on there and see what I'm up to. So a lot of exciting things going on this week. I look forward to speaking with my guest about some of those activities that have actually been all over the news this week. Pretty exciting stuff. But we do have this amazing library that's opening up here in West Hollywood. That's where the West Hollywood Book Fair will be taking place. It's the West Hollywood Library Park, which has the official opening is October 1st. We've got a lot of activities going on there from 10 to 2. So if you are in the West Hollywood area at that time, I highly suggest that you stop by and tour the library. It's got a variety of special features. Everything is LEED certified, so it's environmentally sound, from bamboo ceiling to a variety of other features and whatnot. You can go on certainly the county website to look up that information. For any information about the book fair, you could go to whbf.org, or you could go to West Hollywood Book Fair. org to learn about all of our different authors and whatnot that's happening there. Well, I don't know what to tell you guys. It's been a busy day for me. In addition to waiting for my guest to call in, I've been on a few library interviews. So it's been quite exciting because I've been looking for a library job for some time now, and it just hasn't happened. I graduated from my master's degree last year, and because of the economy, a lot of times the library budgets are being cut. And that means the librarian jobs are being cut. So I've actually been volunteering and doing what I can at the West Hollywood Library and also the West Hollywood Library Fund and a variety of interesting activities that I'm sure you just would be thrilled to hear about, but I'm sure you're interested more in my guest who has yet to call in. So we're 5 minutes in. This is kind of fun. I haven't done radio since 1994. Where I was the weather girl, actually, where I used to report the weather on a talk radio station in St. Petersburg, Florida, which is interesting because my special guest is also from Florida. Well, he wasn't born there, but he lived there many years. But and he went to a well-known clown school down in Sarasota, which is pretty exciting. I'm interested to talk with him about that. But let's see, what else? What other clues can I give you about my special guest? He also worked on a cruise ship, which this is what he's got a new book out. It's called Professional Idiot. But one thing that people maybe didn't realize is that he's actually worked on a cruise ship before, which I personally have worked on a cruise ship as well. In 2005, I worked on a cruise ship. So I'll look forward to speaking with him about that as well. But yeah, I mean, This is what happens when in live radio. You know, you're ready to go on the air, you're ready to do this, and this, you have to stall, is what's happening right now. I'm totally stalling, hoping that he'll eventually call in. My producer is in the other room, hopefully trying to make this happen. or else I'm just going to read from the book. Actually, why don't I do that? Why don't I read a couple things from the book right now? A couple of my favorite passages. It was March 1996, and I was in jail. The Orange County Correctional Facility in Orlando, to be exact. A couple months earlier, I'd gotten my second DUI in less than a year. I was pulled over for swerving badly while making an illegal U-turn through a red light. I tried to tell the officer I wasn't drunk, just tired. The arrest report usually reads, "Defendant declined roadside sobriety tests, stating he'd prefer to take a nap." Upon my arraignment, I pled guilty and asked the judge if I could just start my 10-day sentence immediately, since I couldn't really afford round-trip bus fare home to South Florida and back. Well, that would be the opening paragraph of my special guest's book called Professional Idiot, a Memoir. I actually read this thing in one sitting the other night, and it's completely highlighted and paged with particular parts of it that I enjoyed. I was pleasantly surprised, I must say, of my guest. He's an author now. I had no idea the guy could read. I mean, this is a miracle. I mean, really, to write a book. I'm sure that's his craziest stunt yet, actually. But, I mean, aside from standing me up on this show, I mean, that's number one right now. But let's see, what else can I talk about? Oh, I can talk about some of the other panels at the West Hollywood Book Fair, because that's why we're actually talking today, because both of us are going to be appearing at the West Hollywood Book Fair on October 2nd. Did I say that? October 2nd. It's from 10 to 6. It's at the new West Hollywood Library Park. And I will be on the theater stage at, let's see, what's my time? I think 5:25 to 5:45 is my time. I'm the closing performer there. And I'll be doing a whole literary comedy set. And then my special guest is on a panel called Daredevils, Superheroes, and Hollywood Hunks. I doubt he's the hunk. Let me just tell you that. I think he's probably under the Daredevil part of that statement. But he'll be on a panel from 1 to 2 and then have a signing at 2. So we'll see if he shows up for that. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. What else is going on in the world today? Today is a Thursday. It's September 22nd. It's a nice day in Los Angeles, a nice day to be doing an interview with yourself. I could interview myself. That would be interesting, but I don't think we have the time for that, because the minute I start in, he's going to make an entrance. Are you making an entrance?
Yep,
is my producer making an entrance?
Very soon, yes.
I'm trying to build him
up.
I've already read his book.
You're doing great.
I'm used to reading for children.
He'll be
calling
in soon, and I'll put him in. Okay.
Okay, fantastic. There you go, folks. The guest will be calling in, so you don't have to necessarily hang up now.
And here he is.
And here he is. There, leave it to you to make an entrance, Steve-O. Leave it to you. Again, everyone,
I tried to
call
a little while ago, but it needed a PIN number or something, and I couldn't figure it out.
Need a PIN number? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I was confused, but I got it right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Everyone, obviously, this voice is very distinctive if you're a huge fan. Who I have with me today is, of course, a real jackass, jackass star turned author, Steve-O Glover. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great. I'm having a pretty wild day. A lot of stuff going on. And life is very good for me right now.
Yeah, you're all over the place this week. I mean, gosh, with the Charlie Sheen roast and getting punched by Mike Tyson, I mean, you're all over the place. You're actually more places than Charlie Sheen is this week.
I don't know about that. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. I was thinking that my plan with Mike Tyson might take on a little bit of a life of its own. And the way that went down is just so crazy. I really, really, like, broke my nose. And, it was bleeding. It was, like, it was really, like, broken, like, in two different directions, kind of. Like, the two bones were going opposite ways, and one was, like, way moved over. And I just looked ridiculous, and that was the last thing that happened on stage at the roast that night, and right after that happened, this guy came out of the crowd. He said, "Steve-O, your nose needs to be set right now." And there's just something about this guy. He came over, he told me that he's a kung fu instructor for 12 years, that he's set 20 broken noses. And I just trusted the guy immediately. And he sat me down on the stage and put his thumbs on either side of my nose and worked the bones back together and just set my nose right in the middle. And I honestly think that my nose is now straighter than it was when I got to that roast.
Well, there you go. Maybe Tyson should open up a plastic surgery business or something. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I had had my nose broken a year before that and done nothing about it, so it really was like cosmetically helpful.
Well, all right then, everyone, get punched by Mike Tyson, you'll look better. That could be a whole slogan. He should take it on the road.
To be clear, I didn't get punched by Mike Tyson. He wouldn't do that.
You ran into him.
He's living a more spiritual way of life. Yeah, I dove face first into his fist.
Well, there you go, and you got two black eyes and a broken nose. It's awesome. Now, I do have to ask, another person that's getting a beating this week is Amy Schumer, and I love the girl. I think she's completely talented and amazing. I mean, do you think her joke was too soon? I mean, that's kind of what a lot of people are saying this week.
I didn't have anything to say about it. I didn't find it funny myself, mm-hmm. but it wasn't anything that I had a grudge for. I mean, she said it at a roast. I can certainly, very intimately relate to how she feels, getting a hard time over saying something mean. You know, I had a joke that was edited out of the roast that upset a lot of people. So, mm-hmm. I put something out on my Facebook and my Twitter this morning telling everyone, it's just saying that she feels really, really bad about saying that, and I know what that feels like, and please for everybody to forgive her.
I saw that actually because I do follow you on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
Of course. That's good. A lot of people don't understand the purpose of a roast, and that's, I think a lot of times too, especially when you're taping something and it's airing on television, a lot of things do get cut out, and sometimes the context is taken out, but obviously, Ryan's passing is very difficult, but sometimes as a comedian, you make a choice, and sometimes it's the wrong one.
Right.
I mean, you're a stand-up comedian now. You get it. You understand,
Yeah, I've made wrong choices myself, and I think that it's important for everybody to let that go.
Well, enough about that. Let's talk about this amazing book that you've written, actually. It's called Professional Idiot, a Memoir. And I have to say, Steve-O, I think this is the craziest thing you've ever done, is writing a book. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. Is it not hard to write a book?
It's hard in many ways. It's a lot of work. It's particularly difficult when your story is as unflattering as mine is, and it's also very rewarding. I find it hilarious that I'm a New York Times bestselling author.
I know, we never thought we'd hear that, huh? That's awesome.
I find that really hilarious. But what I'm super proud of is the fact that on Amazon, the average customer rating of my book is 5 out of 5 stars. There's no negative reviews. I got 1 3 out of 5. I got a couple 4 out of 5, and the rest are all 5 out of 5.
See, and you just talking about Amazon and the ratings and the New York best-selling Times lists and things like that. That's right there a sign that you're no idiot. Even though your book is called Professional Idiot, which I did read in its entirety, I will tell you that I did read the whole thing in one sitting. And you know what, Steve? You're not an idiot. You're a guy that just wanted to do something and be a stuntman, and just your life took a real crazy path.
I wouldn't say that I'm an idiot. I just think
no, but I think a lot of times people think they see you and what you're doing, and they don't understand that there's this whole backstory of which your book is all about, and you get a chance now to actually explain some of this stuff.
I think that it was almost a very guarded secret that I'm not an idiot for so long, because I've kind of made a career out of doing foolish, silly things that you would expect a very dumb guy to do.
A lot of people, Steve, don't realize that you went to clown school. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I'm actually from Florida, so I'm pretty familiar with that clown school that you went to.
I graduated from Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College in the class of 1997. And it was quite the experience. So I understand it was more difficult to, statistically speaking, to get into clown college than it would have been to get into Harvard, which is kind of funny.
Step in the plan, to go to Harvard? Wouldn't that be a stunt?
Yeah, I wasn't ever too worried about trying to go to Harvard. But it was overall a lot more like boot camp, I would say, for the circus than it was like any kind of college.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had this plan that I wanted to be a famous stuntman. And I thought that all of the work that I was doing with my home video camera, filming dangerous and reckless, sort of silly stunts in backyards and such, that if I graduated from Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College, it might lend some legitimacy to my efforts on my own. I thought that people might look at all my crazy fire breathing flips and stuff and think, oh, well, here's this trained circus professional guy. I wouldn't be just like a hack as much. And it certainly, I think the plan worked really well. It opened up doors, made a lot of things possible for me. And it's just a really interesting story of how it all went down.
Exactly. And I think your dad gave you some advice in the book that was talking about how just to do something different and to do something that nobody else can do. And that's really going to set you apart from other people and find success, which is exactly what you've done.
That whole experience. My dad was a corporate executive working primarily for international divisions of American multinationals. And I had a really privileged upbringing, and I was kind of conflicted about that as a kid, thinking that, I was kind of embarrassed of, like, the big houses that I grew up in, and I felt kind of weird about, I always felt like I wasn't really a good kid, I didn't get good grades, I was always in trouble, and what did I do to deserve this privilege?
Is that one of the reasons you're able to escape and then go work on the cruise ship as well? Because in Chapter 9, you talk about that's exactly where you kind of learned how to chew glass and staple your balls to your leg and things like that. I mean, that's another part of your process of kind of preparing you for where you're at today, right?
Right. Working on the cruise ships was a lot. It was a great opportunity. I don't know if my complex over the privileged upbringing had that much to do with why I went off on cruise ships, but certainly that was an important step of the process. And the way that the other clowns I worked with, kind of went behind my back and saw to it that I was going to be fired after my contract was ran out. Had they not done that, I never would have been a part of this thing that's called Jackass.
And that's an example right there of just how sometimes people get fired from jobs. I've been guilty of that myself, but sometimes it's meant to happen, so then you can take that next step. So Jackass is actually what you're known for, Steve-O. Obviously, I haven't really talked about any of the crazy things that you do. I love the porta-potty bungee. That's one of my favorites. And then the sweatsuit cocktail. Crazy stuff like that. Now, when that was all happening, I think it's interesting in the book, Steve-O, that the first season of Jackass, you were kind of paid, what, like $1,500 for the whole first season, and then you were unemployed and still kind of – I think this is a great example for young people today to kind of see people on TV and to see people with fame, but still struggling and still having not, like, quote unquote, made it, you know? Can
as,
you talk a little bit about that?
As, you know, as it goes, rich and famous is fame's a lot easier to put together than fortune, I would say. Yeah,
especially in today's times.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I have a chapter that ends there saying, when Jackass first came out, I was left unemployed, homeless, broke. You know, like, yeah, the homeless, unemployed, broke star of a hit MTV show. It was just hilarious.
And when you were homeless and you were also living in West Hollywood, and a lot of the stuff was talking about, like, being in West Hollywood and going to bars in West Hollywood and kind of doing all that type of stuff. I'm actually a librarian. Did you ever think of going to the library? Did you ever find the library as a sanctuary for you?
I never made it into the library, not even once. But I'm familiar with where it is there.
Uh-huh. And that's where we're going to be for this book fair that's coming up also.
Right.
We're going to be, both of us are going to be there. You're going to be on an amazing stuntman, superheroes, daredevils panel.
Kevin Sorbo?
Yes, Kevin Sorbo. And then also, actually, a stuntman by the name of Hal Needham. Have you heard of him before?
I saw him on the schedule, and I'm fascinated to hear his story.
Yeah, he's an extraordinary stuntman, so you guys can actually talk and you'll touch base on that. Another thing that's really important to you, and it's important to me as well, is your sobriety. You've been sober now for over 3 years, is that correct?
Yeah, it's been over 3.5 years now, yeah.
I'm going on 3 months on
myself. Oh, congratulations, that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it'll be 90 days, I guess, October 4th.
Cool.
I think this book is a great example. There's tons of drugs and drinking in there, but I just think it's a great way to show just how you can never compare yourself to other people. You can't judge people for their choices. You know, we're all each on our own path.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think you did that really well with this book. And I also have to credit you, honestly, for the honesty that you have shown in this book. I mean, to say something like, even when you were trying, you know, becoming sober, on page 293, you write, sobriety was just going to be my newest stunt to ensure the spotlight was pointed my way. You kind of, like,
yeah,
knew that, you know, and yet here you are today, still sober and still making it happen.
Yeah, you know, like, we say it all the time that it doesn't matter what first motivates you to get sober. It really doesn't matter. People decide to get sober to satisfy judges or to try to keep their jobs or get their kids back. You know, like all kinds of reasons that people have for deciding to get sober. But the only one that really matters is the only decision that's going to keep you sober is to do it for yourself, you know. And I had really questionable motivation when I first decided to get sober. I thought that the world was going to owe me a favor, that I was doing a favor for the whole world, and that it was going to be a way to get recognition. And I had largely run out of ways to get recognition. And I just pictured it, you know, cash and prizes, and I was going to be the poster boy for sobriety, and that's what it was, really, like, my ego that got me to go to rehab in the first place. And part of the process of doing these things that are suggested to help keep us sober, I took a real honest look at myself and my actions, and once the fog cleared, I saw myself for what I'd really turned into, and I was just so horrified that I became desperate to stay sober for the right reasons. So it really doesn't matter what, there's no wrong reason to get sober, but there's only one right reason to stay sober. And it was just by taking direction from people who came before me that I found that reason.
And I think another point that you made was page 299, keys to staying sober is getting yourself out of the environment where you used to get loaded and away from the people you got loaded with. And that's where I'm also a comedian. And it's like the comedy club scene, you know, you're in it now. That's why I think it's funny. You got sober and then now you're doing stand up. It's usually the other way around, you know.
But
you know, most comedy clubs have a two drink minimum required, and that's where it's kind of like, I'm interested to hear how your experiences are as now a stand up comedian, but also being in those environments where there's a lot of drinking, a lot of times you want people to be drunk before you can do your jokes. What are your thoughts on that?
I was really like careful about the environment that that I kept myself in. I bounced around treatment centers and psych wards for my first 6 months of sobriety. After 6 months of treatment, I went into a sober living environment, living in a halfway house, and I stayed in that halfway house until I had 2 years of sobriety. So for the first two entire years of my sobriety, I shared a bedroom with another man. You know, I was up out of bed with my bed made by 9 a.m. or I got written up. I was home by curfew. I peed into a plastic cup twice a week at random. I did all my chores and you know, whatever they entailed. And that really helped give me the discipline, discipline which I sorely lacked before I got sober. And those for 2 years really gave me a foundation in my sobriety. I'm just so grateful for I don't even know how I came up with the willingness to do that, but so I really I needed it, you know, and I'm just so glad I did. As far as like the stand up comedy thing, you know, like being in my position, especially like when Jackass 3D was, we were filming that, and we knew it was going to be a big deal, and I knew there was going to be a lot of opportunity that, that I would be foolish not to capitalize on when Jackass 3D came out. A lot of people, a lot of people in the spotlight, they get, you know, you'll do paid appearances in nightclubs and stuff, and, That's somewhere where I really draw the line, because for me to be doing a paid appearance in a nightclub and just in that environment where it's just everybody's getting loaded, I'm just not willing to do that. Like, I don't see any good reason to put myself in that situation. But
exactly, and that's where it's like one. I do have to wrap things up because we are running out of time.
Right.
But one environment, Steve-O, that is not going to be like that is actually going to be this West Hollywood Book Fair that we're both going to be at on October 2nd. And you're going to be on this panel from 1 to 2 and assigning at 2. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
So people can come out and see that.
The day before that, I have a show in Ramona, and I'm doing stand-up. And this weekend, I'm at the Brea Improv in Brea, right next to Fullerton.
And people can go to your website, stevo.com, to get more information on that. Now, Steve-O, one last crazy question. Seriously, have you done – well, you told me you haven't gone to the library. Do you have a library card?
I don't have a library card, no.
Okay, well, we're going to be at the library at this book fair event, and I would be honored if you would let me sign you up for your first library card.
Sure, I'm happy to do that.
I mean, honestly, I don't think you've done anything crazy in a library, and I'm willing to bring the craziness by if it means signing you up for a library card. And I think that's something that's pretty important out there to show these young people how important the library is. If somebody like you can have a card and maybe go there, because you're a volunteer, you work with elderly, so why not go to the library too?
Right.
So, well, great. Well, I appreciate you calling
in.
Hey,
I can't thank you enough for reading my book.
Of course.
Means so much.
No, and I'll be emceeing your stage, so I'll be there,
cool.
And we can meet and talk more. And, again, I just thank you so much for calling in. It's a great book, everybody. Steve-O, Professional Idiot, a memoir. Please go to stevo.com. My name is Meredith Myers. I'm stand-up librarian. Please go to standuplibrarian.com. And then, of course, Steve and I will both be at the West Hollywood Book Fair October 2nd. To find more information about that, please go to whbf.org. Again, thanks to my guest, Steve-O. This is Meredith Myers from standuplibrarian.com on West Hollywood Book Fair Radio. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Bye.
Sure.
you on the debris. The Sunday morning market, you were starting to the odds and ends. You was looking for a bargain. I heard your footsteps at the front door, and that old familiar love song. Gosh, you knew you'd find me waiting there at the top of the stairs. At the depot, with the General Workers Union, and yet that they'll never change a thing. Well, they won't fight, and they're not working. And I wonder what you would have done.